this week's edition of This Week in YouTube History. I'm your host, Eric Shivers. On this week's show, I'll dive into the DVD content of Octoon Baby's 20th Anniversary Deluxe Box Set and tell you about what I found. Also, we'll visit AMP Visual graphic designer Sean McGrath's blog about how Octoon Baby's album cover design came to fruition. And of course, we'll visit Gig of the Week. So sit back and enjoy the show. Confession would probably be a better word. I was most excited about the DVD material on Octoon Baby's deluxe box set than anything else. I'm sure you'd say, well, why? You know, why were you excited, Eric? And I think it's because Octoon Baby, to me, was more of a visual album once the Fly video hit the airwaves. The band had a metamorphosis into now what we say being cool, as Bono said on the bonus disc. Everything U2 did was now in sort of like Technicolor. It's sort of like they found a whole new place to play in, which added another layer of complexity to the band's already existence. Previous to Octoon Baby, you know, everything was really in black and white. You know, if you think about it, you know, Boy, War, The Unforgettable Fire, The Joshua Tree, and Rattle and Hum all came with their, you know, very black and white cover and was sort of a stripped down idea. You sort of knew what was being told to you. But as Larry says in the rockumentary video, you know, the band wanted to branch out and experiment, which is why I think the DVD content on the bonus disc is so great. The band has the opportunity to reflect in their MTV rockumentary about how Octoon Baby is a reaction against that U2 myth of the 80s. One gets a sense through these, you know, sort of one-on-one interviews that are sprinkled throughout this bonus disc, which was obviously recorded shortly before the launch of Zoo TV, that the band had to change, or really, better yet, it had to, like, let go of its 80s skin in order to move on. The two segments on the bonus disc that really stood out for me were U2 on Naked City and U2 on TV AM. What I learned most about, especially on Naked City, was how much the UK backlash there was against U2. I know that there's an English-Irish friction, but this rock doc really hit it home about the animosity for the band. What I found most insightful was Edge speaking about soundbite politics, which now, almost 20 years later, sort of runs the universe. As I watched the interview, I thought, you know, how prophetic it was. You know, looking back 20 years ago, you know, Octoon Baby and Zoo TV really spoke of what was to come into the future. Bono counters that by saying that Zoo TV, specifically the tour, broadcasts things as they didn't believe in, which is a heavy statement. You know, if you're putting out stuff you don't believe in, but you're singing against it, there's sort of this contradiction. And you're a little bit overwhelmed when you saw Zoo TV for the very first time. In fact, I think that you had a second chance at it. If you had a second chance at it, you got a better idea about what the whole show was. And I think that's the reason why they put the Sydney concert DVD into the Octoon Baby box. So you sort of got the whole scope of everything from the recorded material up to seeing it live. And I think it allows you to reflect on Bono's statement, which he sort of interjects Sam Shepard's idea that, you know, the best place to be is right smack in the middle of a contradiction. You know, U2 is a contradiction as it embraced video, but also rejected the media image, which I think was really kind of cool. In this segment, I kind of want to speak to the highlights and lowlights of the DVDs. The highlight to me in this whole box set really is the Davis Guggenheim documentary From the Sky Down. It's absolutely magnificent. In fact, I sort of found like one oversight that Paul McGinnis made a statement about, and that was on the Joshua Tree tour, he mentioned it was a stadium tour, when in reality, it was sort of a mix of the two. In the first leg, it was an arena tour, then the second leg went to Europe, became a stadium tour, and then when it returned to America, it was sort of a mix of the both. You know, it's a minor nit in the jewel of the box set, but, you know, I had to make a statement. I had to find something wrong with it. But for the most part, I thought it was lovely how they really didn't just center focus on Octoon Baby, but they sort of brought in the sort of the backstory from the Joshua Tree tour to Rattle and Hum and then into Octoon Baby, and how the big momentous shift from the sort of that late 80s creative period, and how they really sort of spun everything, took a risk, and ran with this idea. In my heart of hearts, I wish the band would have included a different live show other than the previously released Sydney outing. Rumor at the time was that the Manchester show protesting the Sellafield nuclear plant would have been released as a live recording, but that really sort of never came to the forefront. However, we did get a glimpse of this concert on the video DVDs, which is included in Octoon Baby. It had sort of two performances from that show, which I thought were amazing because Bono's vocals were just so rich compared to what was in the Sydney live taping almost a year and some months later. The visual bombardment during the fly, during this Sellafield show with, you know, one of the statements was be a nuclear reactor. Another one was nobody has promised a tomorrow. And lastly, radiation as a sickness. I thought those were really, really hard hitting, which is where I thought that's where, you know, this whole sort of show sat. It was far more aggressive than what the Sydney show was. For all of the MTV content on the bonus disc, I think it was really missing a critical interview between Kurt Loder, you know, standing on the Zoo TV B stage, speaking to the band on the television monitors in an interview, which was really insightful, but also hilarious, which came back to sort of Bono's contradiction statement, which we spoke of earlier, you know, having an interview, being a visual entity instead of being a sort of a personality, which I thought was quite hilarious. In closing, I would like to rate the DVD portion of this box set as we did with the audio on the Edge Beanie scale. I give the DVD portion 5 out of 6 Edge Beanies, which would make the whole box set worth 4.5 Edge Beanies out of 6. I don't know how you get a 0.5 of a beanie, but I'll tell you what, this is a great box set. And for those people who are U2 fans, it's a great addition to the collection. For those people who are just getting on board, hey, welcome to Zoo TV. It's all rock and roll, baby. I have a question for you. What happens when you're just out of design school and you get thrown into an agency where, you know, your first project is to work on a yet-to-be-titled U2 album and you're working under designer Stephen Averill? Well, ask that of Sean McGrath, who is 1/4 of Amp Visual Design in Dublin. You know, I just was Twittered Sean's recent blog post about how the whole Octoon Baby album cover came together. And, you know, as a graphic designer, I was really interested, especially because I like the insight of how the design process works. You know, some designers just have an issue with trying to explain their process, but in Sean's blog, he really sort of gives us the whole picture about how this, you know, 16 images on this cover came together. You know, it was interesting. He sort of speaks about, you know, how boxes of photos came to the studio from Anton Corbin, and, you know, not one image, you know, dominated or expressed the layers of personalities that they found on the album as they played it. What's cool about the blog is how Sean sort of speaks of the band's metamorphosis in image and how the studio looked at other albums expressing that sort of change as other bands sort of changed or created their next big epic piece. You know, I don't really want to give away all of what Sean goes into, because I really think that he conveys this whole process, you know, quite eloquently. But I definitely wanted to give him a shout out, and I really highly recommend the read. If you go to ampvisual.com, which is the agency that works on U2's projects, and you click on their blog, you'll read about, Achtung Baby and a Look Back, and you also get to read about how they put together the Uber Box collection as well. So take ampvisual.com for a spin. Thanks so much. Welcome back to my favorite part of the show, and that's the U2 Gig of the Week. We're not going back 20 years. We're going back 30 years to November 14th, 1981, in Boston, Massachusetts at the Orpheum Theater. This is on the October tour for U2, in which they played to an attendance of, get this, 2,000 people, and that was a sellout. What made this night so spectacular was the show was simulcast on Boston radio WBCN. WBCN was really a sort of an integral part to U2 in their invasion of America and trying to get into American airwaves. In fact, somebody picked up the record at WBCN and started promoting a lot of the earlier work from the Boy record, which sort of put U2 got a toehold for them into America. This night's simulcast, I think you can find on various EPs throughout the Island family. It is an amazingly great show that's, you know, just really contagious. I think if I read this right, there actually was someone who was playing, sort of doing a play-by-play of the band and bringing this excitement to those who couldn't get in the doors into the homes of fellow Bostonians. So again, we found another great show here on This Week in U2 History. It's again November 14th, 1981, Boston, Massachusetts at the Orpheum Theater, U2 playing on the October tour. Again, thank you so much for listening to this week's show, and keep that needle inside the vinyl grooves and keep on rocking. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to This Week in U2 History, brought to you by 822design.com, a different kind of design firm. Eric Shivers is the author of I'm a Fan, How I Married U2 Into My Life Without Going to the Altar, available at amazon.com. Read more about Eric's memoir at imauTwoFan.com and join the conversation. Tune in next week for more U2 History.